Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We extend to you a warm welcome to be with us this evening to our Bible-based presentation on the Antichrist. Our speaker, Mr. Jonathan Clover, will identify from the Bible who the Antichrist is. To prepare us for the remarks of our speaker, Mr. Jonathan Clover, he has asked that we read from the first epistle of John, chapter 2. That reading then serves to introduce the remarks of our speaker, Mr. Jonathan Clover, who will identify from the Bible who is the Antichrist.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is an interesting topic, but before we launch into the topic of the Antichrist, I just want you to think for a moment about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a man that lived about 2,000 years ago. And we're told in the Bible it was for envy that the religious leaders in the Jewish community desired of the Roman leaders that Jesus Christ should be crucified. And they cried out to the leaders at the time, to Pilate. They said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they got the people stirred up. And even his own disciples forsook him and left him because they didn't understand what was going on when they believed and hung all their hopes on this man restoring the glory to the nation of Israel. And I'd like you to just keep that in the back of your mind as we go through this evening, because we'll come to the importance of that event in a moment. But before we do that, let's look at this idea of the Antichrist. Now, for a topic which many Christians hang a lot of emphasis on, it's only mentioned 4 times in the entire Bible, and all 4 are in the Epistle of John. And of course, it's really important to look at the context whenever we have a topic like this that comes up. And as we had read for us this evening, the major context of this idea of Antichrist is those who are with God and those who are not. Those who, as you see highlighted in blue, abide with God or trust the commands and keep the commands of God. Those who know Jesus Christ, those who love God, those who are perfected by God, those who abide in him and seek to walk after the way of Jesus Christ, those who live in the light, those who are forgiven of their sins, those who knew of the purpose of Christ from the beginning, and so on, and the word of God abides in them, versus the contrasting group that doesn't keep the commands of God, there in verse 4, that they are liars, that the truth is not in them, that they hate their brother. They live in darkness even until now. They hate their brother, they're in darkness, they walk in darkness, they know not whither they go because the darkness has blinded their eyes. The ones that have not overcome the wicked one, the ones that are of the world, and the world loves them, and they don't love the Father. And again, we can go on, but you get the point that those that are of the world, against God, against Christ, versus those that are of God, keeping his commands, trying to serve him, acknowledging the Son and the Father. This is the two groups that John identifies and contrasts. And right in the middle of these two groups, he brings out this idea of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist has some specific features that John identifies, not just in 1 John 2, but also in 1 John 4, as well as 2 John 1. And the identifying features of this Antichrist, as he calls it, the first is that there are many. This is not just one person. This is a group of people. There are multiple people, as we're told in 1 John 2 and verse 18. In 1 John 2 and verse 19, he's told, or he says, that they went out from among us. So it was actually originally a group of people who were associated with the believers who decided to leave. They corrupted their beliefs. They changed their beliefs so they were no longer among them. He continues and he says that these are those who deny that Jesus is the Christ. Now, when we look at that word Christ in the New Testament, it's the same as the Hebrew word anointed or Messiah. Now, of course, the Jews looked and longed for the Messiah because the Messiah was going to be their king. The Messiah was going to be the one who established the kingdom of God, the nation of Israel, and broke all of those that oppressed Israel throughout the ages. Now, they denied that Jesus Christ was this Messiah. That's a very important key identifying factor. They did not believe that he would be their king. They were people who lied and deceived. They were liars and deceivers in 1 John 2 and verse 22, as well as 2 John 1 and verse 17. This is one of the ongoing identifying features of those that were antichrist. We're also told that they did not believe that Jesus Christ was a man. They didn't believe he came in the flesh as a man. In 1 John 4 and verse 3. And finally, we're told that they are categorized as of the world and not of God. In 1 John 4 verses 3 to 5. And this is the idea of the world versus God, or truth versus error. So these are the key features of those who are antichrist. And the name itself, antichrist, means those who are against Jesus Christ, particularly in two primary fields. The field of his nature, who he was as a man, that he came in the flesh, and the topic of his messiahship, whether he would be the king of the Jews. So, just a quick summary so far. The Apostle John identifies two groups of people: people of God and people of the world. He encourages those of God to confess that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God and he came as a man. He encourages the believers of truth to abide in Jesus Christ by following his commands and living lives in the truth, or lives of truth, or of the salvation of Jesus in Jesus Christ. And he warns his fellow believers that there are those who have left the truth and no longer confess that Jesus is the Messiah who came as a man. Is everybody all right with that? With that summary, everybody understands where we're at so far? It makes sense. Because God in his Bible always makes sense. There's a logic to it, what he wants us to believe. So as we said, Antichrist is a person or group of people who misunderstand or misrepresent Jesus Christ in two ways: his nature and his God-ordained position as taught by the Bible. And we're given a very strong warning by Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, verses 4 to 5 and verse 11 says, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many." Jesus Christ himself warns his believers, all of his disciples, anybody that would listen to him, that there are going to be false Christs, that there are going to be those that deceive and try and prophesy things that has nothing to do with the work of Jesus Christ. And they're going to be successful in their deceit because many upon the face of the earth are going to follow the lies spoken about Jesus Christ. So, if we want to understand who Jesus Christ really is, then we need to get to know who Jesus Christ really is. Can I get the two gentlemen at the back to just pass around that little handout? These are just a few quotes. We're going to go through a couple, but not all of them. And on the list of quotes that you're going to receive, there's even more quotes. Now, I've only taken this section specifically from the book of Acts and the first few chapters in Hebrews. And you'll see that there's a lot of quotes that relate to the nature of Jesus Christ and the role of Jesus Christ as God's anointed Messiah and Savior. And these are the two things the Antichrist particularly gets wrong. So the best way to battle against the idea of being deceived, against being the many people that are led astray away from Jesus Christ, is to know the truth about Jesus Christ. So in that handout, shove it in your Bible, tuck it away, we can chat over supper, or you can look at all these quotes later. But these are just a few quotes of hundreds of quotes that talk about who Jesus Christ is, his role, and his nature. Now, as we go through the book of Acts, one of the themes that comes out is that Jesus Christ is the son of David. And in the Bible, David was the king that was anointed because he was a man after God's own heart. And God made a very special promise to King David because of his faithfulness. He promised to King David that there would always be somebody from the family and the lineage of David who would sit on the throne of Judah. So there would always be a king in the seed and the lineage of David. And it was a contrast to his predecessor, Saul, who was unfaithful. And because of that, the kingdom was rent from Saul and it was given to David. So Saul's descendants would no longer sit on the throne, but David, because of his faithfulness, his descendants would always sit on the throne. And so Jesus Christ is identified as the son of David. It qualifies him to be somebody who is a king over Israel, or somebody who is a king in Jerusalem. We're told in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 20 that Jesus had human nature and that he died, that his blood was shed because he was a man. We're told in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31 that Jesus' resurrection makes him our Savior, that God had to raise him from the dead because he was a man who died. We're also told that God will set up a kingdom on this earth, and as we know, Jesus will be the ruler over that kingdom as we continue through these quotes. God appointed his son to be heir of all things, we're told in Hebrews 1 verse 2. This is the idea of his messiahship. He was anointed. He had that oil put on his head, as it were, to be the king that God wanted him to be. And as we saw in the previous slide, the idea of being anointed is the idea of being appointed for a divine purpose. The purpose of being the king over all things, we're told in Hebrews 1 verse 2. God is the majesty on high. His son is at his right hand. Again, the messiahship of Jesus Christ, the power and the authority that Jesus Christ has. God gave Jesus his own name as an inheritance. So Jesus Christ has received from God the royal name that God wanted to pass down to him. And he has been made the heir of that name. Jesus was God's actual son. It was a virgin miracle birth, as we're told in Hebrews 1 verse 5 and Hebrews 3 and verse 6. God commands the angels themselves, these angelic hosts, to worship his son. God has anointed his son above all others. Again, the idea of the Messiah, the anointing of Jesus Christ. We're also told that God will subdue all nations under the feet of his son. and that Jesus, again, was a man in Hebrews 2, verse 9, who suffered and died. Jesus was also crowned with glory and honor when he was raised from the dead. Jesus Christ was the captain of our salvation, or is the captain of our salvation, and Jesus was flesh and blood. Now, it's very clear that when we start studying the Bible tells us about the nature of Jesus Christ. It tells us that he came in the flesh, that he was a man. It also tells us that he is the Messiah. There's no question about that. He is the Messiah who was promised throughout all the Old Testament scriptures. And so the best way to battle against the doctrines of Antichrist is to understand the true doctrines of Jesus Christ, his nature and his purpose. In the Epistle of John, the second Epistle of John, chapter 1 and verse 9, we're told very clearly that the doctrines of Jesus Christ are essential for us to understand. So, in his mortal life on the earth, we're told that Jesus Christ was a servant. He was a lamb that was sacrificed. He had to endure the cross and suffering. And these are all quotes from the Old Testament. These are quotes that the people of Jesus' day, who were crying out to crucify him, these are quotes that the people of Jesus' day had access to. They should have known and understood them. And the risk of not knowing the role of Jesus Christ in this instance for the Jews at the time was that they looked for the wrong aspects of Jesus Christ when he walked on the earth, the wrong aspects of the Messiah. The first coming of Christ was that he was to be a meek and mild servant, a teacher. He was to be a lamb that learned obedience and offered himself as a sacrifice. And he was to endure the cross, knowing that the suffering that God put him through would perfect him and his character for being the Savior and the Messiah. But his second coming, he would be a king and a lion of the tribe of Judah. He would be crowned by God as the judge of all the earth. And the issue at the time when they were crying out to crucify him was they were looking for these attributes. They were looking for somebody who would throw off the yoke of Rome, who would get rid of their oppressor, who would make Israel great again. And yet, Jesus had to come as a servant first, as a lamb, for sacrifice to endure the cross. And so they got it wrong because they were looking for the wrong attributes. Even the disciples of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives, after his resurrection, as he's about to go up into heaven to meet his Father, they said to him, "Will you now restore again the kingdom of Israel?" They didn't understand that it was to take time, that there was to be a personal interaction with Jesus Christ first to change the hearts of individuals before a national conversion of Israel and the whole world. And so it was a misunderstanding of who Jesus Christ was that led to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. So how does that relate to the Antichrist? Well, it's a misunderstanding of who Jesus Christ will be that actually identifies a group of people who believe in an Antichrist in a certain form. Look at these contradictory teachings. There was a Catholic monk. I'm not going to pronounce his name. Montier, oh, I'll try. No, that's not going to work. But his edict or his treaty way back in the year 920 to 920 to 920. I think I deleted a number off there by accident. It should have been 922. Says the Antichrist will be a Jew. Now, we've looked at all four references to Antichrist in the Bible. And based on those four references, this is information that they come up with. Antichrist will be a Jew. He would be brought up by magicians and wizards, and he would have supernatural powers. He will be accepted by Jews as the Messiah, which is a real problem, apparently. He will rule in Jerusalem, and those who do not convert to his cause, he will torture and kill. Now, this is a doctrine or a set of doctrines about the Antichrist, about what's going to happen in the future that many Christian faiths hold to. But let's look at what the Bible teaches about the return of Jesus Christ himself. And this is what we understand when we get to know who Jesus Christ is from Bible teaching. Jesus Christ is a Jew. We know that. He was born to a Jewish family. He was a son of David. Jesus Christ will do miracles upon his return. Isaiah 42 and Isaiah 35 talk about Jesus Christ opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, making the lame to leap. He's going to restore deserts into beautiful green, flowering environments. Jesus will be accepted by the Jews as their Messiah. We're told in Zechariah 12, verses 10 to 14, that the Jews will look upon him who they pierced in times past. They will recognize that the one that they hung on the cross was truly the Messiah, and they were looking for the wrong attributes of the Messiah. And they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will mourn as a family mourns for their child. We're also told that he will sit on the throne of his father David in Jerusalem, is where David's throne was based. And there's many prophecies, but the New Testament prophecy that we can look at the birth of Jesus Christ, where we're told in Luke 1, verse 32 and 33, that Mary would have a son that was born unto him, and he would sit on the throne of his father David. And that throne is in Jerusalem. We're also told that those who don't submit to Jesus will be destroyed. In Psalm 72 and verse 9, and throughout the book of Revelation, particularly in the prophecies in Revelation 14, we're told that Jesus Christ will destroy and kill those who stand against him and don't recognize him for the Messiah that he is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you see a problem here? There is a group of people who promote aspects of an antichrist individual that actually reflect and mirror aspects of the work of Jesus Christ himself. So just like the Jews who were looking for the wrong attributes of Jesus Christ when he walked on the earth, they were looking for the great king who was going to save them from their oppression, and they missed the fact that he was to come as a meek and mild servant. We now see many groups, Christian faiths, that purport the wrong aspects of Jesus Christ and adopt them into an individual who will be an antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, this is detrimental, because if we misidentify Christ again, Christ won't be crucified this time like it was to be in times past as a part of God's plan. It is us who will be destroyed when we do not understand who Jesus Christ really is. In summary, Antichrist is anything or anyone that misunderstands or misrepresents Jesus Christ, his characteristics, his nature, and his messiahship. Getting to know Jesus Christ is an essential part of our salvation. If we get it wrong, if we misidentify him, there won't be any chance to repent. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is very important. As we mentioned in 2 John 1 and verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has answers to every question that we have, not only about Christ and his nature, his messiahship, but about the future, prophecies about the restoration of this earth, about how God will be glorified all and in all. So, ladies and gentlemen, if there is anything that I can leave you with this evening, the most important thing that I can leave you with is this book is our lifeline. Look into this book. Find characteristics about Jesus Christ. Find prophecies about Jesus Christ. Find prophecies about who he was when he came on this earth, who he will be when he returns to the earth again. Because we certainly want to be found as people who know him and love him and are committed to him, rather than people who are against him, who are fighting as Antichrist, and who will be judged accordingly. Amen.